Jesus does give us that refuge, and we are so grateful to Him. That's one of the reasons why here in Lent, we are bringing our focus as much as we possibly can, again and again, to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, Scripture says. He's the one that when we fix our eyes on Him, we know the best path that God wants us to walk in. And so we've been looking at this rhythm where Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow Him. There's new kingdom habits. There's new kingdom perspectives. There's new kingdom power that Jesus wants us to take up and live by. And for us to have space for that new, for that best, for that what Jesus wants for us. There are things we also have to let go. We might be used to that rhythm of letting go for Lent. We talk about, you know, giving up TV or giving up, you know, whatever it is we might be thinking about, chocolate, coffee. Hopefully, boy, that'd be a real challenge, wouldn't it? Give up caffeine and coffee for Lent. I suppose that some might consider that. But I want to suggest to you that Jesus wants us to give up even bigger things. After all, it was He that gave up His life for us. And so we're going to explore that, and we have been. And I want to take us now today to this idea of giving up apathy. A college student was once asked if he could explain the difference between someone being apathetic and someone being ignorant. And he said, "I don't know, and I don't care." Right? Which kind of defined it really perfectly. And yet, as much as I can joke about that, I want to suggest to you that the words that we say are so powerful. You might think that the most powerful words somebody could say on this planet are, "I love you." And that would probably be true. So would it seem then that the exact opposite of that would be the coldest, the cruelest words that could be spoken? Instead of "I love you," to say "I hate you"? I want to suggest that the cruelest words that we could ever speak is, "I don't care." Maybe we say it like, "I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't care what kind of trouble you're going through. I'm going to take care of me. I don't care what you have to say. What I have to say is more important. I don't care if you're hurting. I don't care if the world's on fire and struggling. I got enough to do to take care of myself." I want to suggest those are some of the coldest, cruelest words that we could possibly speak. And I believe that is what Jesus is hinting at when in the book of Revelation, as He's speaking to the church in Sardis, and He says, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. You're in this place of apathy," which means not caring. There's a deadness that's come. There's a coldness and a cruelness. Even though we may know the right things, we aren't living out all of the right things. Which leads us to wonder, where does this coldness come from? For someone to get to that place where they say, "I don't care." For someone to be in that sort of numb place. Where does that come from? Well, Scripture has an answer for us. In Matthew chapter 15, we hear Jesus say, "The things that come out of someone's mouth, like 'I don't care,' those really come out of the heart." Which is why Jesus talked about that reputation of being alive but really dead. The heart can be dead even while dead to the world, dead to people and needs around us, even while we keep going and taking care of ourselves. The heart, it's what comes out of a person's mouth, really comes from their heart. These are the things that defile us. In other words, saying "I don't care" is a sin. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. And we saw that in the Old Testament reading, didn't we? You have the two brothers, Cain and Abel. Abel is giving his very best to God. Cain, kind of what he can spare. God does a little performance review on the two of them. God's knocking on Cain's heart to try to get him to see he's been given so much. Can he entrust, give faithfully back to God? Cain doesn't care. Cain doesn't want to care. And out of his heart, that selfishness that's there, that sinfulness that's there, that self-centeredness that's there, comes Cain saying, I don't care. And in fact, if God's going to like my brother's offering better than me, I know one way to hurt the God that doesn't seem to like my offering. I'll take my brother he loves so much away from him. So he takes his brother's life. And then even to go the step further, to add that cruelness and that coldness, he expresses the apathy when he says, "What? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to be responsible for where he is? Hey, you're the God who knows everything. You're the God that does everything. Why don't you take care of my brother? Why don't you take care of the world? God, why don't you take care of the 50,000 children that die every day of disease and starvation in Africa? Why don't you care, God, to stop all the wars? Why don't you care enough, God, to give the cure for cancer?" That's really what Cain's saying. Come on, God. How about you care? Aren't you supposed to? That kind of apathy, "I'm not responsible. You are," it is rebellion against God. Because it's saying that somehow, some way, that the care God has provided for this earth, the provision he has given to us in this world, it's not enough. The promises, even of a Savior who would come and has come, it's not enough. No, you aren't doing it good enough for me, God. And so Jesus says, as we read already again, but to read one more time, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive. But if you're going to lay all the world's problems, all the sin that's there at my feet, as if somehow I, God, don't care, well, that tells me that you've got faith that is not alive. It's really dead." Jesus, in love, not to judge, but in love, makes these stirring words, "Wake up and strengthen what remains." Can you and I wake up and realize, yeah, the world's a darker place than when we were younger. Maybe it's because we're not shining as light as much as the church used to do in times of old. Maybe it's because we're expecting the culture to just sort of stay nice and sort of Christian, and the culture should do it, or the government should do it, instead of the church doing it, instead of individual Christians shining that light. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. Strengthen that word, that faith that acts and works in faith, because I have found your deeds unfinished. There's more to be done, church. There are more that he wants us to love. There are more he wants us to care about. There are others and in need. And I want to suggest, to put it really plainly, I think God sees our apathy. He sees and hears and knows the times when we may not say out loud, "I don't care," but we live out loud, "We don't care." He sees it, and he's calling you and I to have a change of heart. He's calling you and I to realize that God has cared so much for us. Oh, I don't know. Maybe we forget. Maybe we just need a little stark reminder. Can you imagine John 3:16, that Bible verse that a lot of us probably know by memory and love, and while we treasure what it says about Jesus? Could you imagine how it might be worded in the apathetic Bible? I think I spelled apathetic wrong. My apologies to all of you. Imagine if it said this: "For God could not have cared less that the world was stuck in self-centered sin, that he left everyone to fend for themselves and never have eternal life." If that was in my Bible, I don't think I'd read it for very long. Thanks be to God, it's not. Thanks be to God, we don't have a Savior who is apathetic, who could care less. Thanks be to God that God is not like the unjust judge and only does it because, you know, oh, they're going to wear me out by all their prayers, all the times they come and talk to me. We have a judge, a Father, a Savior who does care. John 3:16 doesn't say we have a God who could care less. It says we have a God who so loved. He so loved the world. He so loved all of us. He so loved us that he sent his very best. He sent Jesus to come be his brother and his sister's keeper. God is not like the unjust judge. He sent Jesus to bear justice for us on the cross. It's his blood crying out for us from the cross. It's his blood that was shed for us, crying out, "Father, forgive them. Set them free. Break the power of apathy in their hearts." Jesus cared so much that he became one of us so that he could free all of us. That's his good news. That's his promise. Willing to be his brother and sister's keeper. Willing to pour out his blood to show just how much he cares. Willing to let his life be taken as a sacrifice for us. Not because anyone could take it from him. He laid it down. He gave it up. He gave his life for you and for me. And his blood cries out for us to have that forgiveness. With that great gift, with that forgiveness that he offers to us. Here we are this Lent. Are there some actions, some times of apathy we're willing to let go of? Oh, I hope and pray so. I hope and pray every one of us can think, whether it was the homeless person on the corner or it is the relative who we just, you know, they get on our last nerve one too many times. Whatever it is, we would begin to care. Or as Jesus said it in Luke, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he see us so taking in the love he has for us, so taking in the care that he has shown to us? Will he see us then living out that care in thankfulness and in faith to the God who loves us and towards the world who needs it? Jesus is longing for you and I to live out our faith. He's longing for us to care about what he cares about who he cares about. There was a missionary some decades ago who said, "May my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." And that missionary, Jim Ellison, was so moved when he learned of people who lived down in the Amazon rainforest who did not know about Jesus. When he saw the cannibalism they were practicing, when he saw the demon worship that they were practicing, when he saw the lostness and the despair that they lived out, even sacrificing their own children to a God they feared, he went because his heart was broken and he believed God's heart was broken. He went to bring them the gospel. In doing so, he gave his life, but it was in him giving his life that they saw the ultimate sacrifice of love, and their hearts were finally turned. I don't think God's asking us to get on a plane and go to the Amazon. I don't think he's even necessarily asking us to lay down our lives. He talks to us in Romans chapter 12 about being a living sacrifice, that we have to give unto death. But can we care about what he cares about? Can we care about justice? Can we care about the least of these? Can we care about who he cares about? The neighbor on both sides of where we live. The person struggling through war or through depression or whatever difficulty it is they face. Jesus is longing for you and I to care and to comfort those who are hurting and struggling. Those who are wondering, God, don't you care? We get to be his hands and feet. We get to show that. At the end of World War II, there was a church in Germany. The church had survived, with one small exception, a statue in the courtyard, a statue of Jesus, a statue of his arms stretched out wide, saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That was the inscription at the bottom. His arms had been blown off from a nearby bomb explosion. The church voted and said, should we replace this statue, this armless Jesus statue that we have? And they decided in their vote, no, that will be a reminder to us that we are to be the arms of Jesus. We are to be the arms reaching out in care and in love and extending hope and help to those who are hurting, searching, seeking, struggling. That's what God is calling for us to do, to care for who he cares about. And so when we pray that Lord's Prayer today, or anytime we pray it in our lives, when we say, "Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven," may we also then care that his will would be done in and through us, his caring will, his compassionate will, his love in action will be done among us, just as Jesus did it for us. May he be glorified as we do this, in Jesus' name. Amen.